Welcome back to WNST and Baltimore Positive, and we're into segment number three. You know, everyone knows the rules around here. County Executive Perry Glassman from Harford County joining us here at Ward State Fair. No drinks on the table.
I didn't want to get blamed.
Mine's way down the end.
Liberty Pure water's fine, but it has to have a cap on it. Here, with the, of course, former County Executive Don Moeller as well. Into segment three, I mean, we did coronavirus, we did some local issues, but man, we got a round robin here, and I know you really want to get into opioids.
I really do, and I want to thank our sponsors first. It's State Fair, Fadley's, our friends at Center Maryland. If you're not checking out all the news every morning on Center Maryland, do that. And our newest sponsor, Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary Realtors. Give Jeff a call, 410-746-1547. County Executive, I think folks, they have some sense that Harford County's, you know, north of the city. It's where when it's going to snow, you're going to get a little more snow. And they may know Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and they've been to Ripken Stadium.
Right.
other than that, Nestor knows more than most people. Describe Harford County, and it's 250,000 people, for folks around the state who aren't that familiar with it.
Yeah, Harford County is a growing – we're really a growing suburban county. I mean historically, we were an agricultural county, but Aberdeen Proving Ground's been with us over 100 years now, and even it's changed. We've got about maybe less than 100 uniformed troops at Aberdeen Proving Ground, but now we do bioterrorism, cybersecurity, and the whole base has been transformed since the last BRAC closing. And actually, we are the think tank of the Army now and have a highest percentage of PhDs than any installation in the country.
Wow.
And most people don't know that it's still our number one employer, but really, even our own citizens don't know how that installation has changed over the last 10 years.
How many folks work at Aberdeen?
About 23,000.
Wow.
Yep.
And wow.
That's huge. I don't think people would know that.
Including contractors and everyone.
When did that change? Was it more of a tactical kind of place at one point?
Well,
in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, how it changes from that to IT,
yeah.
Right?
Well, in the early years during the First and Second World War, they did terrorism, they didn't call it terrorism then, but if you remember, we had the nerve agents and
chemical.
All the testing.
Yeah,
chemical
sure.
At Edgewood Arsenal was really a chemical testing grounds. It had troops, and that's changed over the years. It always did have a mission of the warfighter security, developing better helmets, vests, and boots, and things like that. Of course, you all remember Beta.
Sure.
Right? So Beta made boots and so forth.
Shoots.
For the Army back then, and that's how it got its start. Of course, now it's Water's Edge and a fancy development spot in the county, but I remember that because both of my great aunt and my grandmother worked there. A lot of Harford County women during the war.
We used to always pass it because my parents never wanted to pay the toll on 95 to drive to Newark in the 70s.
You said they called it the toll road.
Yeah. They called it the toll in 1973, 74.
Right.
Like, come on, we're going to drive Route 40 up to Glass Kitchen and make the left.
Right.
Oh, I mean, I spent my whole life there at the Beta Factory.
Yeah.
I used to always look at the little ponds on the way up there. I mean, I know my Route 40.
I tell you what, you know what? If I didn't know better,
I haven't been on Route 7.
I might think you're a Harford County native.
I know.
If I didn't know better. What
and
do you think?
I got made fun of in elementary school because, you know, Jack Purcells were cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I wore Beta bullets, and, you know, my parents, you know, we farmers, lower income, so we didn't get the fancy Jack Purcells. We had actual Beta bullets. I didn't realize it until I got to middle school.
Well, they explained to you it was local because you're, buy local.
Right.
You learn that away.
I didn't realize they were not in until I got to middle school and got made fun of.
And your middle school classmates will let you know quickly what's in and what's not in. County Executive, what is there's so much going on, and we talked virus. We moved beyond that right now. What's on your plate in Harford County, both in terms of not only challenges, but what do you feel good about that you've accomplished? And one of the things that sticks out for me about you, and maybe you can talk about this and others, you have not shied away from the opioid crisis at all.
Yeah, I can remember on my inauguration, when I first got sworn in, it was just starting. I was starting to hear about the numbers, and then doing door to door and campaigning, I met so many families that had lost young people, lost their 401ks to send kids to 2 and 3 recoveries, and
oh, wow.
And lose all their retirement money. And so, I can remember, you know, at that first speech talking about that we were gonna. That we had a problem, we had a heroin problem in the county, and we were going to tackle it, did some billboards. Boy, but I realized then when you step outside the box, you know, that a lot of folks in the county still had their head in the sand, and I can remember getting phone calls, how dare you, and, you know, why are you talking about this, and but within months, we got into what was a national epidemic, and we saw the numbers just go up and up. Right away, we put about $250,000 into local treatment. I had a whole task force assigned to go out, and we've done everything from PSAs to in our school system, sending teams out. And really, it's been successful. We've won a couple of national awards for all the approaches, and I kind of had the approach that no idea was a bad idea. It was so bad that we were going to try everything that we could. And the last numbers, we had the biggest reduction of any of the big 7 counties.
Well, congratulations.
Down 38%. It's not me, but just a lot of groups in Harford County that kind of grabbed that mission, and we went out and spread the word and got folks treatment. We're to the point now that we're having recovery fairs to get people rehired, working with legal attorneys to get, you know, legal records cleaned up. When you go through this thing, you've usually got a criminal record. You've lost your family, so we're helping family services to get families reunited. And so right now we're doing so well, we're beginning to struggle to make sure we get people housing, jobs, and things like that. And that's a whole different part of this recovery process that no one's really talking about yet, that we're doing so well, we've got to get these folks back to work.
So you probably already are, but if not, you certainly will be getting calls from county executives and mayors across the country when you get the kind of success that you're getting in this incredible health crisis. Break it down for me. So they call you and they say, okay, County Executive Glassman, you guys have done some stuff right. Prioritize it for me. What's the stuff?
Yeah, what's the model?
What do I need to do? Right.
Right. So we had a model where, first of all, we brought the school system in, law enforcement, and so there were no silos. We were all going to work together, and we, you know, put a team together to make sure we crossed all jurisdictions. And then we said, listen, we're going to, number one, go and save the next generation. That means going into elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, going in as young as we have to into every school. And the school system let us in. They were reluctant at first, saying that only our nurses should talk about that. But no, we sent mothers in there who had lost children, siblings that had lost siblings, to go in and begin the public education campaign. The other part was treatment. As usual, the federal government, we were 2 years in before the federal government ever ever designated it as a national crisis. I mean,
you were ahead of the curve then.
Yeah, local government and the state, we were ahead of the curve. We put local money into treatment with some of our non-profit partners. We were able to take that $250,000 in cash and get $1 million in grants and push that out for recovery to get folks help there. And the third is enforcement. You got to work with law enforcement. There is an enforcement aspect of it for the folks that traffic this stuff, that go up and down I-95 and work your neighborhoods and supply the stuff. So concentrate on that to some degree to make sure, not necessarily going after the addicts, but going after
gang-related
the
drug
dealers.
Activity?
Yeah, the dealers. You know, I-95, York, Pennsylvania. We're in one of those spots where the stuff comes in from. And so all of that combined, and then we turned our communities free. Just one small thing that I got the most calls on was a program that we did with the schools where We allowed children that had lost a sibling or a mother or father to do PSAs, to actually shoot a video, and got the movie theaters to let us show it at the beginning or at intermission of the shows. And to a T, everyone told me when those kids came on and talked about the impact of this, you could hear a pin drop. We won 2 national awards off of that program alone that had a tremendous impact, just waking people up and touching them. So it takes a lot of work to get that out. You've got to try a little bit of everything. I have my Run for Recovery coming up in May. We do a Run for Recovery where we go out and raise money and give to our nonprofits. And then the last thing I got going was last year, our crisis center, where you can now walk in 24/7. We partnered with the Klein family, Upper Chesapeake. I've got a mental health center there in Bel Air, 24/7, where mom and dad or anyone can walk in with addiction to get addiction or behavioral health services. That was one of the early consultants told us that counties in the country, for folks that don't have access, there's nowhere like on a weekend night if your child is having a problem, or a weekend night where you can go.
You call the police at that point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now we have the crisis center in Bel Air where you can walk in 24/7 and get services. So that was the last piece of it. And the mental health awareness is a big piece. Most addicts and most people going through this have overlapping mental health problems or behavioral health problems. So
it's so really a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah, I want
to
ask you about this.
No one likes to talk about that, but we do.
This is thick, and this is why we did this, because, I mean, we can all have press conferences and stuff,
right.
But then it's what your background as a legislator, it's interesting to me that you have taken this thing on, because it sounds like something at the state level. And, you know, I follow Al Redmer and, you know, Twitter, right. And I know he was, you know, when he was campaigning 2 years ago, talking about it all the time, and Annapolis and Larry being into it. Yeah. We talk about whether people want to let Baltimore burn down or not from outside of Baltimore. The opioid thing, I think that's right, left, blue, red, purple,
exactly,
in and out of Annapolis. And I think
– takes no prisoners.
but your background as a legislator, does that help in sort of trying to institute – policy switches for people? I mean, even in this coronavirus, to say, hey, we have to change things.
It does. The nice thing about, and Don will know this, is serving in the minority party for all those years in Annapolis, you learn a lot about policy, but it's tough to get things done. You know, if I wanted to do a crisis center, I'd probably have to go three committees, try to get bond funding. As county executive, the nice thing is you go into your cabinet and say, listen,
this is important.
I want to get this thing set up.
Yeah.
I can budget it, go to Upper Chesapeake, go to my partners and say, we're going to do this. And a year later, I'm sitting
You know,
there
Mark O'Malley talked about that with
Martin O'Malley.
On the environment, he said, everything I ever did for the Bay was completely unpopular, even with the people it was going to benefit. And 15 years later, he's got the book and said, look, we got more issues.
Look at
the work.
Bay.
But it wasn't popular. Well, but it's hard when you're trying to get elected and do things you believe in
and
you
it's
know
what
are
makes,
right.
It, what's, it's what makes being an executive. It's interesting. Even Dutch. You know, well respected.
Dutch always
United
tells
States.
Me that's the right. best job
best,
going.
Every,
I don't know if that's true. But
Dutch,
he says
Dutch leads with
he
county
says
executive
I got the
Barry.
Best.
You got the best job going, right?
On
Dutch,
their days, I don't know if he's right about
Dutch,
that.
Dutch leads with that because, and it's interesting whether it was Don Hutchinson, Dennis Rasmussen, Jim Smith. I go down the list. You know, Ted Venatoris. They all say best job going because the thing is, you can take action. And pretty quickly, if you're monitoring data, see whether you're being affected. I mean, you sit there today, you took it on as a health crisis, but you have to have a sense of pride that you actually see the numbers dropping. You're changing the lives of families. Yeah. So, I mean, you've made a difference.
And I've always been into land preservation as part of my agricultural background. And we've put $23 million into land preservation over the last 6 years. And I can see those numbers and really get it done, whereas in the state, it may
Very
took
hard.
Me 5 years to get that kind of money.
And you've seen government, you know, I don't know that folks know this, you've seen government, I was saying to Nestor, I don't think we've had any other elected official one who has hit every step of government in the state. You were a county councilman You were in the House of Delegates. You were in the State Senate, and now you're back as Harford County Executive. So
It's been a long.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this, because you know, you said I found the money as County Executive. I can pound on the table. Right. What's the next thing you'd like to get done? You can't get done now. That if I gave you X amount of dollars, it just flew out of the sky, or you know, if taxes went up by this much, what would you do? What's the next thing that makes Harford County great?
Yeah, we've got a couple of challenges. One is, you'll probably hear from other executives, local infrastructure for roads. The Transportation Trust Fund has been underfunded for 20 years, and counties like Harford County, many suburban counties, we probably haven't built a new state road in 20 years. So
they've all been built. We don't need any more, but you always need more, right?
Right. We need widening. We need road improvements.
And, I've been on 24.
Because we're beginning to see, we've grown to the point where that's catching up to us. We're even in our county, as you said, 24, 22.
Do you have water and sewer issues as
No, we're pretty good because we do that ourselves, right. You know. So we do that through an enterprise fund. It's usually the state or federal government that's behind. You know, the state in the 90s to fund Thornton took about 90% right. of our local highway user funds, which we were supposed to get out of the gas tax. So even our county roads are behind on maintenance and reconstruction because the state took our money and hasn't returned it, and we're kind of funding that through bonds and some other things. So infrastructure on state highways, I think, for us is a major deal. And third, the one thing I've been trying to concentrate too is there's so much high tech and so much going on now at Aberdeen Proving Ground in the cyber area and so forth. My goal is to get some of that out into the community with startup incubators. We've got a system on Route 40 where we're trying to bring that technology outside the gate, because it's nice inside, but I don't get any revenue right. on it. So that's an area where I think we can do better growing our economic development in our private sector.
Yeah, we got the folks from Betamore, Greg Cangelosi in Baltimore, with just that, an entrepreneurial incubator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we promised County Executive say if we get it, but before we let him get out of here, can't have a local exec on without talking about Kerwin. Complicated. It looks like the legislature is moving to some funding mechanisms. We're talking, what, $4 billion, $1.2 coming back to the locals. What's the impact of Kerwin in Harford County, and where do you stand on it?
Yeah, so I was on the formula work group, not the actual Kerwin bill, but we redid the formula, basically when we count students, what local efforts should be, when we're going to count revenue and so forth. And so part of Kerwin, I think, has a good piece to it. A lot of it is labor cost. I mean, I think we should bring teachers up to $60,000 at least for a starting salary. My concern with Kerwin has always been the size of it at $4 billion. It is the largest undertaking that counties have ever absorbed. The two biggest were teacher pension transfers and what I mentioned earlier when they took our highway user funds. In the last 20 years, the biggest hits we've taken is $500 million. Kerwin's about $1.3 billion. So,
can you handle that in Harford County without some kind of revenue enhancement?
We can, because in Harford County, we currently spend 50 cents on a dollar for education. So Kerwin, the new formula, does recognize local effort. And so for us, it's about $1.2 million a year over the next 10 years. That's if you believe no recession and growth, right. And all the estimates on both sides for state and locals are on pretty rosy assumptions that everything is as good as it is today. It is going to extrapolate out for 10 years. The Senate bill did put a circuit breaker off ramp last evening on the Senate Kerwin bill to evaluate it after 5 years and see if they're reaching their goals, if it's funded. And so there would be a breather there before the state did the second 5 years. My proposal is, before we go in $4 billion deep, that we'd pilot the whole program in Baltimore City and fund it and see if it works for 5 years before we spread statewide. We can still do our teacher salary grants. But one,
that getting any traction? I mean, that's an interesting
there's an
suggestion.
Amendment.
Yeah, that kind of shook my ear a little bit. To say, you're not going to leave on time now.
Nestor perked up.
Yeah, the reason I say the reason we picked Baltimore City, of course, they have the lowest test scores. Part of Kerwin is to address concentrations of poverty, and Baltimore City has the highest concentrations in their school districts, and of course their test scores are the lowest in the state. So I was thinking, and we already pay 80% of their education costs. The city only contributes 20 cents on a dollar for their own school children. So my idea was just go ahead and fund the whole thing. Don't require the city to come up with the extra money. We already spend 80%. Let's do it 5 years, see if it works, test it, if it needs revision, and see if we reach the goals that they want to do. So I think part of the reason for the Senate amendment is a little bit from my idea is at least take a look at this thing after 5 years and see if it's working. But I do think, and I say this, and it riles some of my other executives and the mayor, of course, but I do believe every county should at least be putting 40 cents to a dollar into local education. The state can't carry the whole bucket of water for that. And so I do think the new Kerwin formula does begin to put some pressure on certain jurisdictions that are below that. And quite frankly, I think the city needs to invest in police officers as well, but I do think they need to invest more in their education system.
Well, I can't thank you enough. We promised your staff they'll never let you back if
that's
we don't
for the
hold
next
up.
Show.
If we don't hold up,
we're never getting Chris Van Hollen again.
If we don't hold up our end of the bargain, they won't let you come back. It's been a great
he's sitting
visit.
Out there. Yeah, I'm wondering if you're
great visit with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman talking Baltimore positive. Yeah. I've learned a lot, Lester. Where are we?
We're at State Fair. We're in Catonsville. We're going to be back at Fadley's again soon. Check our schedule underneath all of this at BaltimorePositive.com. All the mayoral candidates as well on April 14th. Elbow bumps, because that's the way we do it. From Harford County down here to Catonsville and through Baltimore City. No. We are Baltimore Positive and WNST.net AM 1570. We never stop telling great stories from Baltimore all the way up to Harford County.